Thank you for being on the programme. It's great to have you here in person as well.
Well, thanks, Sophie. It's very nice to be here.
There's so much to talk about, almost too much. You kind of wish international affairs wasn't quite so precarious at the minute. It feels right to start with the ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon. Are you confident that it's going to hold?
I have to say, not particularly. I mean, it's a retreaded agreement from 2006 when Hezbollah was meant to be separated from the northern Israeli border, which would be policed by UNIFIL, a UN unit, and the Lebanese army. Well, they did absolutely nothing over time. I mean, they did start off by doing a bit, but not over time. So I think it suits the Israelis at the moment to have a ceasefire, because their objective initially was to make the northern border safe. If you push Hezbollah back beyond the Litani, that largely answers the question in the sort of short to medium term. In the long term, I don't think it does. I mean, let's see what happens. I think the key question is how much Hezbollah has been weakened, because Hezbollah had completely hollowed out the Lebanese state. We're not clear yet. I mean, the Israelis must know how much of the infrastructure of Hezbollah they've taken down. I mean, they haven't taken it down completely, but maybe the Lebanese state can reassert some of its authority as the, as the government of Lebanon, and keep Hezbollah to an extent under control. We just have to wait and see what happens.
Hezbollah, of course, backed by Iran.
Totally.
Important is how Iran reacts now.
Well, I think what's extraordinary is that the Israelis have called Iran's bluff. So this idea of attacking Israel constantly through proxies has really been demolished. And Hezbollah, rather than Hamas, was a strategic asset for the Iranians. They pumped a huge amount of money, arms and training into it. And look how it's been taken apart by the IDF. I mean, it's very interesting what's happened. So we're in a much more direct confrontational situation. I mean, we could be.
That sounds quite alarming, though, if you say direct confrontation.
Well, I think that if Iran launches another attack on Israel, were they to do so, they're very, very exposed. The last IDF raids on Iran, I think, were devastating in terms of taking out their air defences, taking out some of their missile fuel manufacturing capability. I think they're very exposed indeed. And I would imagine that Israel almost are hoping for a further opportunity to hit Iran without being seen as the primary aggressor, I mean, i.e. responding to an Iranian attack. Let's see what happens.
So there may be a ceasefire, of course, in Lebanon, but the war is still very much raging in Palestine. The International Criminal Court has put out an arrest warrant for the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. How should the UK respond to that? If he comes here, should he be arrested?
Well, I think my views are pretty clear on this. We are members of the ICC, but in this case, I would not. I mean, it's difficult to be a member of the ICC and then not follow its instructions. But look, its instructions in this case, the indictment of Gallant and Netanyahu, is, in my view, ridiculous.
You think it's clear. France have been clear. They say that immunity would apply. Do you think the British government should have been clearer
I think it should have had the guts to be clearer. I would like to see a senior politician being courageous enough to take a clear stand on such an important issue.
You think it's cowardly, then?
I think it's equivocal.
There are reports today that the Chagos Islands deal is on the brink of collapse. Now, this, of course, is the deal struck by this government to give sovereignty to Mauritius. Have you got any idea what's going on? What's your sense?
Well, I think I've got a reasonably clear idea what's going on, in that Rubio long ago stated, in relation to this negotiation, that Mauritius has a too close relationship with China, as it were, to be a trusted strategic partner.
And you're talking about Rubio, just to be clear, close to Donald Trump, expected to be a key part of his
administration. Yeah, he's already nominated the Secretary of State. So, I mean, he's got a very important role to play. I mean, I very much hope that Rubio and Trump shoot this agreement down. Mm. I mean, the Chagos Islands are strategically really important. The Mauritian claim to these islands, which are 1,000 miles away from Port Louis, the case is weak. The case is based on a UN vote. So the international law case for surrendering sovereignty seems to me to be completely phony.
So if you assume that the incoming Donald Trump administration
strongly opposed to this, I think they reject it, that's it. It won't go through. And actually,
could they try and rush it through before, though?
I don't think. I mean, given my understanding of the protocols between, you know, an elected president and a serving president, you have this strange period of 3 months, or roughly 3 months, between November and January, is that you don't take important decisions, or if you do, they have to be coordinated and consulted with. And I think, you know, I'm pretty sure that behind the scenes there's consultation, and I very much hope that Rubio and Trump will dump this agreement. It's a bad agreement. You know, I think they have to realize that this is not in the interests of the United States. It's not in the interests of the UK from the point of view of our national security.
I mean, when we're talking about national security, we need to talk about Russia as well, obviously. And we've seen the aggression in the war of Ukraine. We've also, of course, seen the Russian government imposing sanctions on some members of the UK government as well, really kind of throwing their weight around, if you like. How do you think the UK government should respond to it?
We have to face up to the fact that the Russians think they're in a state of war with us.
They think they're in a state of war with the whole of Europe, do you think?
Yes, more or less. I mean, Donald Tusk has referred to it as a pre-war situation. I think he's wrong. I think it's an actual war. Now, that doesn't mean in the Russian mind a military conflict. But it means hybrid conflict or different types of conflict in different arenas of interest. And I mean, we've seen already quite clearly some very aggressive moves on the part of the Russians in various European countries. You've had the heads of the intelligence agency, the head of CIA, head of my former service, actually standing up publicly and, you know, talking about the Russians going feral and, you know, being involved in sabotage and hybrid warfare, and us being, well, I mean, us, I'm saying that Western Europe generally and the United States being in a very dangerous situation. So I don't think there's any point in beating about the bush.
There's different views on how we should respond to Russia and how we should deal with Russia, right? Some people think we should talk to Russia. You know, we've seen that in Germany. There's a speculation that Donald Trump could do the same. Do you think Western leaders should be picking up the phone to Putin?
Well, I've always believed in having a dialogue with one's opponents or enemies. I think we're in a very difficult situation with Russia. It's probably better to have some sort of dialogue with them than no contact at all. So I don't rule that out. I mean, it depends what you talk about, what the content of the conversation
true.
Is.
That's the main thing,
But, you know, obviously contact is important, particularly when, I mean, we're in an extraordinary situation historically. We've got a major contained war on the European continent. I would never in my previous life have believed it would be possible to have a major contained conflict. Things could go badly wrong very quickly. We need to have sort of prophylactic measures in place, or the possibility to stop, you know, things escalating out of control. But I think at the moment, I'm not sure Russia is in a mood or a situation where it's going to be very easy to talk to Putin.
Just finally, we saw the mystery drone spotted over US air bases in the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a good bet that that's from Russia?
Could be. I mean, it's already happened in Norway. The Norwegians have had drones flown over strategic installations. They have arrested, I think they actually arrested someone who did turn out to be a Russian contact. So, yeah, I don't think you can rule that out at all.
Thank you very much. It's been fascinating to talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sophie.